from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Thursday. It's Rop and Sook, your sports bros.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
My name's Asachi.
NHL awards like it. I know you are.
I'm sorry, what?
The NHL awards.
Oh,
don't
no.
act like you're not excited.
Well, I'm not. But I will say that I'm going to Vegas on Saturday morning, and I'm wondering if all those guys are still going to be there.
Yeah, because the awards are tonight in Vegas, and then the draft is tomorrow night. You
yeah.
could be rubbing shoulders
yeah.
with greatness.
Well, like, who will
you
be
You and Nate McKinnon.
Who? Who's that?
He's the MVP. He just
Well,
won.
Why would he be at the draft?
Well, he's in Vegas. He
For just accepting the award.
He just won the MVP. He's probably going to stick around in Vegas and party.
I'm guessing some of those guys do.
Yeah. What else are you going to do?
But then, like, the kids who get drafted, that, I mean, they're...
Yeah.
They're yep. too young.
You will, well, not all of them, but yeah, you will probably see, I guarantee you see some built white dudes with
yeah.
hots.
With long
and,
hair.
And you're going to be like, I wonder
who that is.
You'll be like, I don't know who that is, but that's a hockey dude.
You're like, I kind of recognize that logo. Is
yeah.
that the Hurricanes? What is that?
Yeah. He'll have some good, yeah. Look
you
for
think he's going to have his jersey on walking through the wind?
No, no. I'm just saying, like, I bet you'll see, like, team personnel and stuff, too. Like, you'll see, like, you know, GM
yeah,
who's
yeah,
wearing
yeah.
An emblem jacket or something like that.
Who's the number one pick? Who should I be on the lookout for?
That's the kid Celebrini, who's yeah. going to the San Jose Sharks.
And he's an American. He's the son of the Golden State Warriors, like, strength and conditioning coach. He'll be the number one pick. A little short, dude. You might not actually be able to pick
Small.
Him out of a lineup. He's a little guy.
What's his first name?
I hope it's Brian.
Is it Nate?
Something Celebrini.
Yeah.
I forget really
Macklin. There it is.
Macklin
Celebrini.
Macklin Celebrini.
Who would be the coolest guy? So before we get to the hot five, who would be the coolest guy for me to see from the NHL realm out there? Like, would it be McDavid? Although McDavid... He doesn't seem like a huge partier.
The guy that you would want to throw down
like who's the Who should be on the lookout for?
Ovi. If he, I don't
Ovechkin?
Know. If, yeah.
Now, if, see, he if, I would recognize.
If Ovi's there, that's who. If you could pick one guy in the NHL to party with, it's the great.
That's a good
guy.
One.
He likes to have a good time. Okay. Like, he makes no bones about it. That's the guy.
Who was the dude that was dating, I think, Aaron Andrews and got caught with blow at a Vegas pool? It was like Jarrett Stoll, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, I thought they were married.
Well, they're maybe not? They are now.
I think they were dating at the time. I think a lot of the hockey bros like a little bit of the powdered ice.
Well, who was the dude who basically got kicked out of the playoffs?
Nichushkin?
Playoffs?
Yeah, for the
Avalanche, right?
For the Avalanche, yeah. He's got a blow problem, and the coaches were like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, he's making his own. And he's really good. And they're like, dude, just get the hell out
of I think
here.
He was their leading goal scorer, yeah. And they had to, like, kick him off the team, yeah. Like, midway through the playoffs.
Yeah. Dude, hockey guys like to have a good time. You go see some bros down there with long hair, and there's going to be hots around them, and they're going to be spending some money, and you won't know who they are, but you'll know that guy, you'll just, yeah. There'll be NHL bros down there a lot.
I picture a lot of beards, mullets, hots,
yeah.
And short, stocky dudes.
Yeah, I could.
Like, I don't think they're all that tall.
No. No, some of them are. Like, there'll be a couple build guys, but yeah, it'll be a lot of dudes that are like 5'10 and built, but not like NFL built.
Yeah, see, to me, it'll be like, I'll go to Vegas and I'll see the bros, right? We all see the bros out there, yep. And there's five of them, and they got their hats on backwards and their funky socks and they're being all bro-y, right?
Yeah.
Bro.
I'll see that group and not have any idea that those guys all play in the NHL.
It is true.
That's totally true.
They will blend in, and you'll just think it's a bunch of, like,
college baseball players or something.
Yeah, or, like, a bunch of stock
just
brokers.
A bunch of bros.
That are on roids. It'd be like, oh, those guys CrossFit.
And then I'll hear one of them speak Russian. And then I'm like, oh.
And then you'll catch a couple accents, and you're like, oh, are they in international trading? What is
well,
this?
Well, and the other thing, too, is, like, I think the line of demarcation are the hots.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are going to have some tail around.
They'll have top shelf. Hockey bros
do
great.
Whereas some of those other bros, they're just out. They're trying,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't come quite as easily.
They will have a gravitational pull of hots. And you stay at the Wynn.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll.
Yeah, they'll be there.
They'll be at the Wynn.
Because the last time I was... there was another time we always stayed at the Wynn, and when we were there once, I think it was the All-Star game of the NHL was going on.
Yeah.
And boy, yeah, they were all there.
Yeah, they're there.
That's where the high profiles stay. They get taken care of there.
I you're going to see some stuff. I'll bet you this is a fun little, because anytime if you stay at the Wynn, like the NBA players are the easiest, NBA players and NFL players are easy to spot.
There are celebrity sightings every time I go to the Wynn.
Yeah.
Last time it was, Maria, what's her name? The Big Uptops played in the show. Maria Sofia Vergara.
Oh, Sofia Vergara.
Sofia Vergara.
Yeah.
She was
you said Maria. I was like, Maria?
I did, okay. But I forgot her name. She probably wants me.
I would think so.
You think she's still thinking about me?
I think she's significantly older than you, too.
Think you got a better chance with her or Wayne Gretzky? Who you also saw at the Wynn.
Hey, maybe you'll see Wayne Gretzky there.
Yeah, right. Twice.
And you'll confuse him for a middle-aged lesbian, but, you know.
My old friend.
Your old friend, Wayne Gretzky.
All right, well, anyway, I don't know why we were talking about that. Let's get going here.
I was watching the NHL Awards. I was trying to get you to care.
I don't.
And you don't. And that's disappointing.
And you might even have a stake in it. That's why we're here.
We've got audio of Joe Cronin coming up. He is the Blazers GM, if you don't know, and he will be telling you about their draft. Blazers did not make a draft pick today. They made two trades. So we'll get to that. And we've got some Duck stuff piling up over here. Did you see the Fly Era unis?
Yeah, I did.
That are out there now?
And I'm not going to lie. They were oversold.
Yeah?
Okay. Well, they said that there were new uniforms coming. It was like a big rebrand. And...
I didn't
less
see
is
much.
More.
They look like the old ones.
I that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
I didn't see much difference. But, you know, I'm not one of the kids.
Oh, I watched the video and they explained how they had all these different details, even though it just looks like the old ones.
All right, right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, jolly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com. Number five.
Well, in Atlanta, the U.S. men's soccer team just lost. They lost to Panama.
Not good.
No.
2-1.
Not good, Bob.
Copa America.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means
for them. I don't know either, but I know it's a big deal. I was drinking at Jerry's tavern up the road last week, and they were playing the Chile game. Chile versus Argentina. And a bunch of Chilean bros were in there, and they were all wearing cowboy boots and hats and soccer jerseys. And boy, let me tell you something. Apparently the Copa America is a big freaking deal to the South.
Why?
I couldn't figure that out, but they hate Argentina.
It's basically Champions League of the West.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
or not Champions League, but Euro Cup of the West.
Only teams from the Americas, right?
Yes.
Correct. Yes.
And if it is a big deal and we suck.
So here's what it means. The U.S. and Uruguay are the clear-cut two best teams in the group, but they just lost to Panama and now have the same record as Panama. So what they do in their final game matters quite a bit.
Okay. Who do they play?
They play Uruguay, who's the toughest team in the group.
Oh, number four.
So Panama now has a chance to have the upper hand and knock, and based on a head-to-head win over the U.S., take their spot in the next round.
Believe it or not, Notre Dame-Michigan State is actually one of the oldest football rivalries in the country.
I did not know that.
It dates back to 1897. These teams have not met since 2017, but they announced today that they are renewing the rivalry. They will play in South Bend in 2026 and in East Lansing in 2027.
Hey, that's better than when we normally get these announcements, because it's like, in 2039, we'll renew this rivalry.
Yeah, they're not doing as much of that now with all the reshuffling,
At least we're keeping it within,
a couple of years. Yeah.
The great Jonathan Smith against, who is it, Marcus Freeman, the coach of Notre Dame?
Marcus Freeman, yeah.
Yeah.
Who I think's a pretty good coach.
Yeah. Although he better start winning. He's going to get his ass fired. Notre Dame doesn't mess around.
Are they overrated again this year?
I don't know. But I'm assuming they're going to be in the top 10, which probably means, yes, they are overrated.
Football Power Index had them as the most likely team to end the season undefeated.
Number three.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, watch them lose three games.
After trial, the NFL has been found guilty of violating antitrust law. They've been ordered to pay $4.7 billion to fans and $96 million to sports bars who feel they were overcharged to watch out-of-market games. Basically, the league made it impossible to buy single games and overcharge for the Sunday ticket. So they will appeal. No word on how any money, if it is dispersed, will be dispersed.
Well, it's crazy because this lawsuit was filed in 2015 and was dismissed for having no merit. And then it was refiled in California, and now it's worth $4.7 billion. And the NFL is like, yeah, no, we're just going to appeal this thing. This may end up going all the way to the Supreme Court. The NFL will fight this thing tooth and nail. So don't expect a check anytime soon, but if this does get upheld, you will get a check.
Hell yeah. Did you ever pay for a Sunday ticket?
Every time. I don't know if this counts, because I'd always call DirecTV and threaten to quit, and they'd give it to me for free.
Yeah, I did that too.
So does that...
Number two. You won't. No, you got it free. You're not going to get money.
And then later on, I used to buy the Madden football game, and it came with a copy of it there too, so I don't remember if I actually ever paid full price for it.
Celtics big man Kristaps Porzingis did have surgery on that lower leg injury. They are saying he's going to be out 5 to 6 months.
Yeah,
and he hopes to return by Christmas.
And because they're an apron team, they really can't go out and get anyone. Like they're very limited. So,
But they don't need him until
they'll be fine.
January anyway. Jimmy Butler will not sign an extension with the Heat or any team that he's traded to. He is choosing to become an unrestricted free agent next summer, which is probably good because he'll make a ton of money.
Yeah, but it also kind of neuters Miami. I mean, there was some talk that maybe they would be looking to move on for him, but like his trade value is not a whole lot if he's like, hey, I'm a rent-a-player.
And the Nuggets, your Denver Nuggets, are working toward a max four-year, $209 million extension for point guard Jamal Murray. Mm. That is expected to be done shortly.
Yeah. He still never made an All-Star team.
No, he hasn't. Free agency starts Sunday.
Did he ever make an All-NBA team? Let's do
it. I don't think he has.
So so he's not eligible for the Supermax.
Number one.
I don't think he is. No, I'll double check on the All NBA, but I don't think he did.
Loser.
Number one. He is a loser. You may be surprised to find out the second round of the NBA draft is actually over. It started just after 1 p.m. today for some reason. Now, the Blazers traded the 34th pick to the Knicks for 3 seconds. We'll outline those in our next seggy. New York then took Marquette guard Tyler Kolek, or the Blazers drafted Tyler Kolek for New York. The Zers also had the 40th pick, but they dealt that to Oklahoma City. And we're starting to piece together how that all went down. So we'll reset you on all that when we get back. And we're going to hear audio from Joe Cronin as well. The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victoricos.com. By the way, one other second round note. Nothing major of note. But Bronny did go to the Lakers at number 55.
Yes, after Clutch Sports and LeBron James threatened to send him to Australia if anyone dared draft him before the Los Angeles Lakers.
So, when we come back, you'll hear Joe Cronin on some issues like trading for the Israeli guy. That's what I'm going to call him.
How about just DA?
DA.
DA works.
And our guy Donovan. Denny, Grand Slam.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Denny. I'm going Denny like the Denny's like the diner. So Denny, Grand Slam, you know, Lumberjack Slam.
And Donovan Klingon. And then these trades as well. So we'll get you caught up on all things Blazers coming up next. And we got some Duck stuff coming up as well. It is 517 on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Someone asking on the Vancouver Report text line, why did they do a two-day draft in the NBA this year, especially when the second round is in the middle of the day on a weekday? You were saying it's because the teams wanted it that way?
The teams didn't want it. The agents apparently were pissed about it. They liked the hectic confusion. And because, you know, in the second round, they're not guaranteed contracts and you can kind of maneuver more And so the teams just wanted a chance to kind of reset and develop a strategy about who fell. And again, you see way more trades go on in the second round. So the teams just wanted an extra day to prep. So it wasn't about making it a made-for-TV event, which is why they put it on in the middle of the day. It wasn't at where the first one was. Like, there wasn't a lot of pomp and circumstance behind it. This was more of the teams now with the, sounds like the CBA, being what it is, that the teams were taking this a little more seriously and they just wanted a little more time to prep for it. But the agents, I guess, were the ones that were pissed about it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Sure.
So the Blazers...
No one cared either way, so...
Right.
The second round of the NBA draft, no offense, but it is like... I mean, it's a snooze fest.
Your Blazers had two picks today and they traded both of them.
Yeah.
So they traded the number 34 pick to New York for 3 second-round picks. The details on that, 2027 Minnesota second, 2029 least favorable of the Indiana-Washington second, and New York's own 2030 second. Does that get your sports pants tight?
No, not at all. I could literally care less about any of that.
And then number 40 was weird because we knew they traded it, and Oklahoma City got it, but then Oklahoma City traded out of it, and it was just a whole thing. But apparently, Oklahoma City traded for number 52 to Golden State. Then the Thunder moved from 52 to 40 with Portland, but Portland then did not select 52.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City jumped from 40 to 38 with New York. I don't know who picked at number 52, but according to Danny Meringue of our... Midday show, Portland traded number 40 for cash considerations.
Ah, yes. The old cash.
And I love that.
Because you can buy picks.
Because Jody needs cash.
Well, and Portland doesn't even have roster spots for any of these guys. They're all filled up. And I know there's still more moves to come, but, and that's why this second round is not a big deal. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of these weird housekeeping, cost saving, moving things, you know, years down the road. Oh, no, 2029 and 2031 second-round picks.
2030.
2030.
Get it right.
Get excited. And those picks, by the way, Portland won't make either because those will be moved in a separate deal.
Yeah, I think that's right. But it's always like, oh, well, the Blazers got, well, what was that Gary Payton deal? They got like five seconds. I mean, so they basically gave him away.
Yeah, for future considerations.
Which... Okay, look this up for me.
Yeah.
Who was the last second-round pick that the Blazers... draft a guy that they drafted and kept that was
well
good.
I mean, Jabari Walker was a second round pick and he probably figures into their long-term, you know, plans. So okay. I mean,
can you give me a list?
That's yeah, I can look it up. But like second round picks that are good, I mean,
I don't know about good, but just, you know, just like worth it.
Yes. I'll look that up because there have been some that they draft in the second round that do end up, you know, being something.
Ryan Rupert is going to be that guy undoubtedly.
Although he kind of seems like the odd man out right now
in
that rotation.
He hasn't done anything.
I know, it's a joke.
Oh. That was funny. I like that.
Well, it's just, it's true now. When you look at it, I mean, we had a log jam at guards, and now you kind of have a log jam in the front court a little bit.
Nice.
Like, you've got Klingon, you got Ayton, you got Time Lord, you've got Duop Reith. Like, you've got a big clog. Oh, and Jeremy Grant there at the four, and you got a bunch of wings now. Like, there's only so many spots to go around, and so the roster is not done. More moves will be happening.
Will Barton was a second round pick. He was here for a little bit.
Yeah, Barton. Okay.
And then you mentioned Patty Mills earlier, but those are probably the only two in the last 15 years or so that really had a little bit of staying power and some
and like
productivity.
I said, Jabari Walker, you think probably has a spot on this on the team at you know, he's a rotational guy.
Gary Trent. Was a second round pick, according to some on the text?
I'm looking here.
That sounds right. Maybe.
Yeah, I've got their whole history here. I'm going down. What year would he?
I think it was one of those where he actually got drafted by somebody else, though, and so then they had.
No, they still have those on here. I'm not seeing what year would he have been drafted because I do not see.
Let's listen to Joe Cronin.
Yeah, please.
He's the GM of the team. He spoke last night. Here he is talking about the Blazers' first-round pick, Donovan Klingon, and his defense.
Donovan, to me, is an interesting defender. Of course, he's more of a drop big that's best around the rim. I mean, it's what he does best is protect the rim. But his his IQ and his feel and his ability to navigate and react and, you know, play the right angles or, you know, adjust his depth depending on, you know, who you're playing against and what you're trying to take away. I think Donovan's going to be a nice, versatile defender that, you know, in general is just going to up our defense, something that we've continually tried to do and we're starting to get better at, but we still have a long ways to go there. You know, I think rim protection, it was a huge, has been a big hole of ours, and Donovan helped solve that problem.
And here he is talking about pairing Klingon with Scoot.
Anytime you get a defensive anchor that can play behind, you know, your talented guards, I think that's a huge, huge part of this. But also, you know, someone that can play, you know, do a good job on the other side of the ball. He's a great screen setter. He's going to be a good role guy. He's got great hands. He's got a good feel. He can pass. He can play off the move a little bit. He's got some work to do, like a lot of young big men, but we like where he's headed skill-wise.
Yeah.
A little bit of a red flag that the first thing he mentions is he's a great screen setter.
His offensive game is very, very limited, and I also don't know if he's a guy that you can play pick and roll with and dive to the hoop. I don't know. We'll see how athletic he is. In college, you know, he is a heavy-footed guy. I mean, he's not Zach Edey heavy.
What size shoes does he wear?
Well, he's 7'2". I'm assuming that thing's got to be like a 19.
Think he's packing heat?
He's a 7'2 guy. My guess is probably.
Aren't they all?
But, I mean, he's not, you know, he's not seemingly the way the NBA is going with 7-footers because he's legitimately, you know, 7'1", 7'2", and is close to 300 pounds. But, you know, he is a guy that just putting his big ass in there on defense should be a deterrent at the defensive end. I am interested to see because, you know, Scoot's a guy that doesn't shoot the ball very well, and he's more of a get to the rim. If he's a guy that can't extend out and can't develop a more of an offensive game, does he clog the lane a little bit? I am interested to see how it works on the offensive end. But from a defensive standpoint, I would think that he makes an immediate impact. But then again, we're going to have to see, you know, what happens when some of the stretch fives or when people go five out and they run five small and you get more of a power forward. Is he a guy that is going to, at times, as you've mentioned with some of the other bigs, is he going to get played off the floor? The nice part about him is he shouldn't be playing more than 20 minutes a night. Ayton's going to be the starter. And then you kind of see how he goes and get acclimated and yeah. You know, he certainly is a nice change of pace.
Here is Dr. Cronin on the current mode they are in.
Just we're still in such a talent acquisition mode that we're not super concerned about who's playing ahead of who or who's playing next to who. It was more for Donovan. It was obviously get a really talented guy who addresses some huge needs for us, specifically, you know, like we said, the rim protection, the defense, the rebounding, the offensive rebounding. You know, part of this is we're building a competitive culture. We want these guys to come in and compete and, you know, earn whatever minutes and roles they get. And, you know, when you're a rebuilding team like we are and you're trying to take that next step, you know, we need guys that are capable of coming in and winning jobs. And that's what we're looking forward to, is just being more competitive.
We need guys who can set a screen.
Well, and
happy to be coaching guys.
And he's a great culture guy. By all accounts, great kid, works his ass off, reshaped his body. Did have 2 foot injuries last year at UConn, but, you know, he was out for a couple weeks with each one, but no red flags on his medicals. And,
right.
You know, the only thing is, like, and I think this goes for everyone in this draft, like, I think when you see him number 7 overall, I hope people aren't expecting him to come in and be this dominant force. He's going to back up Ayton. He's going to play 15 to 20 minutes a night, and he's going to average, I'll bet you this year, he averages 7 points and 5 rebounds a game. So I just hope there's some some expectations of realism here, and that he's being brought in to hopefully be the guy of the future. But I'm guessing it's going to take a while for him to acclimate to the game and the speed and the quickness that it's going to take to play at this level.
So you don't think Blazer fans will be booing his ass right off the top?
I certainly hope not.
Boo his ass!
Well, you know, he's a big, kind of stiff white guy, and I hope that people don't...
I don't think a lot of people loved that.
I hope people don't freak out.
Well, I think they already have.
Well.
I mean, did you see Jake the Hater storm out yesterday?
Hot!
Look.
The people are fed up.
Almost everyone that covers the draft, thinks that this is who Portland wanted. They think that he was a guy that was potentially a top three pick. You didn't have to move up to get him. I've heard nothing but praise for what Portland did in last night's draft.
Again, I don't know what that means because those people don't know anything either, but I guess that's good. I will play this for you because where was that?
I don't know.
I've got a clip here.
Who was it? And I can find it for you.
Oh, no, I got it. It's that Adam Finkelstein? You know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
CBS Sports.
Okay.
This is an A for Portland. This is a best case scenario. I mean, there was real traction for him going number one. There was talk early on he could go number two. They had all these teams, Memphis, Chicago, OKC, who were all trying to trade up to get him. It looked less and less likely that Portland would be able to get him to fall all the way to seven. Now they have their center of the future. We are talking about a huge physical presence in the rim, a defensive monster with his shot blocking, with his timing. And what we don't talk enough about is the offensive potential. At his size, to be able to dribble, to make slip passes and backdoor passes off the dribble when you're 7'2", and I think he's got some long-term shooting potential. We're a couple years away from that, but he's got real touch, and I think he's got a chance to stretch the floor. So this is a home run for Portland.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a better athlete than I think some people are giving him credit for. This is not Zach Edey. Like, Zach Edey got exposed, by the way, against UConn in that pick and roll. Klingon is a guy that can move a little bit. Even some of the draft workout videos that they released, he looks pretty fluid out there. Yeah, no one's going to confuse him for Hakeem Olajuwon, but no one's expecting him to be Hakeem Olajuwon.
So how many drafts does it take to get out of talent acquisition mode?
I think this in theory, if everything goes according to plan, right? And do we have the clip where, by the way, he talks about Scoot and Shaden?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we've got some clarity now on where the building blocks of this team are. I don't think this was a coincidence that he said this at last night's press conference.
Yeah, here it is.
We've got to continue to build this talent base. And, you know, we're committed to Scoot and Shaden being a massive part of what we're doing. And how do we find ways to, you know, give them the support they need and make them better and maximize their development. So it's continually seeking players that we can add to this roster that we can grow with and build together with.
Yeah. All right. So they think that they've got two of them?
They've got two of them. And then you would assume that...
Do they have two of them?
Well, and this is why I said according to plan. So follow me on this. You asked, when do you get out of talent acquisition? My argument is if things go according to plan, and that is such a big, giant if, it's next year. So
this next draft,
because
they're not going to be any good this year.
No, they should be bad, and the mission should be bad. The mission should be to be very bad. So you just heard him. Like, Anfernee Simons is not going to be on this team for very long, whether it's in the offseason or in the trade deadline. Anfernee Simons is going to be the odd man out. He just is. So this and we know that eventually Jeremy Grant is going to be moved on from. And you would assume that by drafting Klingon at seven with Ayton with 2 years left, Ayton doesn't figure to be in the long term plans. This team will be built around Scoot at the one, Shaden at the two, DA, who they made the move for, old Denny there that they made the move for from Washington. He's your 23-year-old small forward on a wonderful contract, and Klingon at the five. That is the core of what you are trying to do. The goal is next year to be dog blank awful, get a top three pick, and whether that's Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey, or is it Dylan Harper is the other guy, supposedly there's 3 to 4 to 5 true difference makers in next year's draft. I think the idea is you suck one more year, you end up with a top three or four pick, you draft that guy, and that is your core, and then from that point going forward, and let's be honest, Chance is probably fired after this year too. He's a lame duck coach. And you're going to hire a new coach. You're going to draft, hopefully, Cooper Flagg or someone like that. And then from that point forward, it is mash the gas. And this is about winning and actually trying to grow and develop. So I think you have one more year, quote, of talent acquisition. But If Klingon turns out to be a stiff and can't move, and if Scoot continues to struggle and can't shoot, and Sharp gets hurt and doesn't develop, then, you know, this is why sometimes rebuilds go into 6, 7, 8, 9 years. But I think that is the path forward, and I think it's pretty clear what the path is at this point, and then what can you get down the road for Simons? What can you get for Grant? What can you get for Ayton? That will all be part of the next year of adding talent and draft capital to go out and acquire young talent that is on the timeline of the four guys that right now that clearly you are looking to build around.
So best case scenario is four drafts for talent acquisition mode.
Yes.
Because you've already had two. You've had three.
Yeah, technically.
And so then you got one more.
One more.
So
if it takes longer than that, then
you're not doing something right.
You done stepped in it.
Duck stuff is next. Here's Buck. Hey, new shirts in the Fan merch locker at 1080thefan.com. $25. You can get the Dirt and Sprague Bacon Football Tee, the Danny and Dusty Absolute Unit Tee. We have the Isaac and Souk My Son is an Idiot Tee and the Rockin' You on a Friday Tee. And also we have up there for you, and all the proceeds go to our friend Mike Lynch, our former producer. He has ALS. Help Mike take a swinge, S-W-I-N-J, at ALS. $25. He gets all the money. So buy them.
Yes. Buy them all. But especially if you're going to buy one.
Buy them now.
Buy the swing shirt.
Right now.
That's swing spelled S-W-I-N-J.
Sending lots of love towards Mike Lynch and his family.
Yeah.
Got some duck stuff here. A couple things. One, did you see the Fly Era unis that were released this week?
They're called Generation O. And then this was the Fly version.
Anthony Thomas.
Yeah, the all black. And it just looks like they're old black jerseys. Like they brought back, they combined the old D'Anthony Thomas when they had the feathers on the shoulders with the old diamond plate Dennis Dixon, but it just looks basically like the same uniform that they had when they went all black.
Yeah, they basically took little details from older, louder jerseys and made it kind of a cleaner, tighter look. And
which I like that. I like what they're doing.
It's not going to make as much news, but I think it actually maybe looks better than some of the former iterations. So.
Well, I think it's a cool homage to former players.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and I think that was the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. D'Anthony Thomas was in the release video that they did. And
yeah, they're saying, get it, standing on the shoulder of giants because the shoulders are where they do the feathers and the diamond plating. Got to have that fun little quirky thing. There's a whole video explaining it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the diamond plating.
Yeah. That wasn't my favorite look, but the diamond plating is subtle on this. I just thought that they were going to do, when they made the big Generation O, I thought you were doing a complete rebrand and we were going to get new helmets and, you know, like an entirely different look. And this just, like, again, it's cool. It just looks like their old ones.
Well,
so
tomorrow, Joey Harrington will be on, and we'll ask him, at least I think he'll be on, we'll ask him if he's been consulted about a Generation O uniform.
He would have been, I don't know if he was the diamond plates. I think he might have
been. He was not the diamond plates.
Yeah, he was before the diamond plates.
Yeah,
correct.
He was when they first went to kind of the weird different shades of green. And
correct, and I think he was one of the first to wear the new O rather than the interlinked UO.
Well, I think he's the one that started the hand O thing.
He started the hand signal of it, but whoever designed the actual logo, they made it look like Autzen Stadium on the outside and Hayward Field on the inside. Yeah. That was the goal.
Okay.
So,
Duck fans are also hot and bothered about the fact that EA Sports, you know, the college football video game is back.
Yes.
And they rank the toughest places to play on the game.
I'm just saying this for the record. This is the dumbest thing that I've ever seen a fan base be upset about.
Yeah, they're very butthurt.
Yes.
So this is from a video game, not in real life, just
the video game.
The game.
Because in the game, when you go play on the road, like, and you're the visiting team, it makes it harder for you to play. That it's built into the game.
Yeah, your controller starts rumbling, like a third and seven's harder to pick up, your receivers miss routes, stuff like that.
Stuff like that, yeah. More likely to jump off sides.
Yeah, so the Ducks came in 11th.
I love that everyone, because there were a bunch of lists going around about the top 10, and Duck fan was so like, not in the top 10! And then like you look at the bigger list, you're 11th. Like, what? You're the 11th hardest place to play in football. Do you really think you're the hardest place to play? Come on. Like, and it's a video.
Lloyd Carr said it was.
One guy.
That's what every Oregon fan will tell you.
One guy.
Well, who do they think they're? So, let me look at the rankings. They have Texas A&M number one.
Yeah.
And that is,
do we think that's true? That is Texas A&M the toughest place to play in the country?
Never played at Kyle
I've been
Field,
there. But. It is a very, they are, it's wild. It's a really good scene. And the thing that makes that stadium great is it is right on top of, like, there's just no space between the field and the fans. Like, well,
there's like 120,000 people.
And, it's legit. Yeah.
But I'm thinking about, I mean, I guess I immediately jumped to places in the SEC that, like, I mean, LSU at night, like, more raucous than that, maybe, I guess.
Well,
but.
I just played golf with a guy who's been to both. We were just talking about this, actually. He had been to Kyle Field and Tiger Stadium and said Kyle Field better for that reason.
Yeah.
That they were just right on top of you, whereas LSU's massive and it's expansive, but A&M, he said, was a little bit more interesting because it's just, they are all over you.
I do believe Nick Saban said that that was the toughest place to play when they were doing the whole Johnny Football thing. Kyle Fieldhouse. Or not Kyle Field, not Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
Texas A&M. I think Saban was the one that said that A&M was the toughest place
to play. Well, they're number one. Alabama 2, Tiger Stadium, LSU 3, Ohio State 4, Samford Stadium, Georgia 5. So Oregon's not better than any of those.
Well, no.
They're all ginormous. All of those are huge.
You're talking about 55 to 60,000 people. No offense, you're very loud versus in some of these places, 100,000 plus.
Penn State.
Yeah. The
Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
They're over 100 there.
They're six. That's Camp tough. Randall, number seven.
Yeah, very tough.
Probably comparable to Camp Randall, I would think.
I would think. Ducks. I think honestly now, the difference between Camp Randall, like all these schools here, they're probably interchangeable.
Oklahoma is next. That's pretty good, man. I mean, that's I don't know how many they seat, but Florida State and then Florida and then Oregon.
Yeah, like again, you're gonna be like, we're tougher than the swamp.
Well, did you see the thing that Oregon fans now have to hang their hat on in relation to the game? Oregon, the second best offense in the country.
Yeah.
That came out today.
On
the game.
I would also like to point out that Colorado's offense and defense are both on there as one of the best.
Colorado's defense, top 20. Same with USC.
What?
Yeah. That's why people shouldn't be reading into this.
Exactly.
Why does it do that?
Talk about,
like, what is it?
Because they want Colorado to be good.
They want them to be popular. They want them to be a popular pick.
Okay. I got you.
I just like to point out that don't take anything seriously when the defensive power rankings have, I'm looking here, I just want to be clear, Colorado, who might have the worst defense I've ever seen in the history of college football, they're 20th, and USC, who has the second worst defense I've ever seen, they're at 16. So Oregon is at 3 on the defensive power rankings and 2 on the offensive rankings. So,
shouldn't it make Oregon fans feel good they're ahead of Clemson and Tennessee?
Well, there's
Michigan?
Well, but there's another one. They put Clemson's offense that was absolutely dog-ass, and it's 9th or 10th.
They're just ranking brands.
They're just ranking brands.
Well, I'm talking about stadium thing.
Yes.
I went back to the toughest places to
play. Places, yeah.
Oregon is ahead of Clemson, Tennessee, Auburn, Michigan, Texas, Notre Dame. I mean, come on.
You're doing just fine.
Some pretty high praise. Duckies.
It's so funny how angry, like, fans get over the dumbest things. And also, look, Oregon is a great place to play. It's a great team. You are not the toughest environment to play in college football. I'm sorry. It just, you're not. You have 60,000 people when you shove that thing together. If you asked any coach whether they would want to play in a big game at 100,000 people at Neyland Stadium in Tennessee or Oregon 60, my guess is they'll take Oregon 60.
All right. Well, tomorrow, I think we'll have time to get into some Big Ten lines. Is it too early for that?
No.
Never.
We'll do that tomorrow. And Joey will join us for more hot duck talk. Maybe we'll ask him about uniforms. I wonder what he thinks of, like, back when he played, I wonder what his thoughts were on the uniform thing. Because you're right, that was, like, right at the beginning of the,
when
they kind of cranked it up.
That was when everything, I remember.
And now looking back, those are terrible. But.
Yeah, I couldn't stand them. I remembered when, because I was right when me and Joey were about the same age and getting recruited and all that. And that was when Oregon really made the, we're going to double down on this and form a brand. And I thought for years it was horrific. And then right after the diamond plate stuff, to me it changed, even as an old fuddy-duddy. Oregon made, once they got rid of the diamond plate and they went to kind of more of this version of it, Oregon's got some of the best looks in the country.
Well, it felt like it was attention grabby at first, and then once they had attention, then they tried to make it cool. Yeah. Like because it didn't start out cool, it was just loud, different, and now it's pretty cool.
You can't argue. I mean, you can if pretty you don't cool. like the Ducks, but their stuff, when you ask people around the country, you ask especially kids, Oregon's got some of the best branding and some of the cleanest looks and nicest stuff anywhere in college football. And even as an old fuddy-duddy like me, 99% of the time when they put something out, I'm like, ooh, that's slick.
And you know about some of this, but like I guess at like the All-Star games, Senior Bowls, and Shriners games, and stuff like that, the guys from other schools covet Oregon stuff. They all trade stuff. They trade stickers and gear and stuff, and that's like the number one stuff that they all want.
That's what matters right there. All right, we'll be back to wrap it up right after this. Well, we're not wrapping it up. We're going into the club.
Yes.
It's an open seggy.
Yeah.
Look, let's be honest. We got nothing next.
Love the open
seggy. And we're running late on time. So that's next. It's going to be exciting. 5:54 on the Fan. You know, we do have one Ducks follow-up, and it's not even Ducks.
No, there's geese.
It's a geese follow-up.
Controversy.
Yeah, so the new court, we were talking about this the other day, the Ducks revealed the new court at Matthew Knight Arena.
Deep in the woods.
They should have hired a symbologist because they got one of them wrong.
Yeah, it sounds like that we were talking about the flying, the Ducks in the V with the one missing for Matthew Knight.
They have a flying formation of Ducks, or do they?
Yeah, all the experts are looking at the... Looking at the court going, wait a minute, those aren't ducks. Look at the necks. Those are geese. What are they doing?
I love this.
You were talking about how much those guys made to do that?
Yeah.
And they put geese on the floor.
Because this is...
They're not ducks.
This is my favorite thing. If indeed this is true, my favorite part about this whole thing is this dumbass, like, with the architecture firm or whatever that spent so much money kind of redesigning this thing, and they put so much thought and effort into it to the point where they claim that every tree, the outline of every tree, is actually a tree that was used to build the court or Matthew Knight Arena.
Paying homage to the actual trees.
Which is just so stupid, and no one can prove it, but sure, whatever. But if you went to that sort of detail and you actually did that, but you couldn't find a silhouette of a real duck.
Of the correct animal.
And you used a goose instead. I'm sorry. That's the best thing of all time. Now, I so want this to be true.
I can't say that I would know the difference, but if you look at what what's out there, you know, the geese, they have longer necks and they have wider wingspans.
Yeah.
And that is what... the silhouettes look more like geese than ducks. I don't know if that's right.
It does appear to be a silhouette of a goose.
Yeah. It
and I want it to be.
Yeah.
And look, there may be some prejudice here because again, I think this is hilarious that some pompous firm, the tree thing was just so over the top cheesy that I desperately want the geese thing to be true. So I need confirmation. I need like an actual real expert who's nonpartisan. We need someone from like Purdue to come in and tell us this. Some sort of bird expert. Because you know if this is, there's someone at that firm right now being like, oh my God.
Yeah, someone's getting turfed.
We look like a bunch of ass clowns right now.
Thanks, Isaac and Newt Zook.
All right, the club is next. See what we have here.
I love stuff like this. When you have one job.
Well, and like you said, you're so over the top about, all the thought and time we put into this.
The extra effort to add nuance to the things that didn't need nuance, like the trees, and to miss that part.
Come on. Be true.
All right, coming up, we've got violent sneeze news and two bits of...
By the way, violent sneezing is nothing to laugh at.
No, it isn't.
Sammy Sosa on the DL once.
I'm at the age now that every time I sneeze, I feel like I'm this close to blowing out an O-ring.
I thought that violent sneeze by Sammy Sosa, it didn't put him on the DL. It turned him white.
Oh, maybe.
When we went to the Giants game, somehow we ended up, I think we were talking about Barry Bonds, and we were sitting with some people from Bank of America, the people were down there with me and my buddy, and they hadn't seen Sammy Sosa. And so before we knew it, there was a whole... I was just passing my phone around to the entire section.
Mm.
And there was like 10 people that had not seen Sammy Sosa in probably 15 years. And it was amazing. Mm. We together had a wonderful moment where we realized that Sammy Sosa is now a white, cowboy. And it's vampire. And it's amazing. Full-on cowboy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, new shirts in the Fan merch locker at 1080thefan.com. $25, you can get the Dirt and Sprague Bacon Football Tee, the Danny and Dusty Absolute Unit Tee, we have the Isaac and Souk My Son is an Idiot Tee, and the Rockin' You on a Friday Tee, and also we have up there for you, and all the proceeds go to our friend Mike Lynch, our former producer, he has ALS. Help Mike take a swinge, S-W-I-N-J, at ALS. $25, he gets all the money. So... buy them.
Yes, buy them all, but especially if you're going to buy one.
Buy them now.
Buy the Swing shirt.
Right now.
That's Swing, spelled S-W-I-N-J.
Sending lots of love towards Mike Lynch and his family.
Yeah.
Got some duck stuff here, a couple things. One, did you see the Fly Era unis that were released this week?
Yeah, they're called Generation O, and then this was the Fly version. The
Anthony Thomas.
Yeah, the all black, and it just looks like they're old black jerseys. Like they brought back, they combined the old D'Anthony Thomas when they had the feathers on the shoulders with the old diamond plate Dennis Dixon, but it just looks basically like the same uniform that they had when they went all black.
Yeah, they basically took little details from older, louder jerseys and made it kind of a cleaner, tighter look. And
which I like that. I like what they're
doing. It's not going to make as much news, but I think it actually maybe looks better than some of the former iterations. So.
Well, I think it's a cool homage to former players.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and I think that was the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. D'Anthony Thomas was in the release video that they did. And
yeah, they're saying, get it, standing on the shoulder of giants because the shoulders are where they do the feathers and the diamond plating. Got to have that fun little quirky thing. There's a whole video explaining it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the diamond plating.
Yeah. It wasn't my favorite look, but the diamond plating is subtle on this. I just thought that they were going to do, when they made the big Generation O, I thought you were doing a complete rebrand and we were going to get new helmets and, you know, like an entirely different look. And this just, like, again, it's cool. It just looks like their old ones.
Well,
so
tomorrow Joey Harrington will be on and we'll ask him, at least I think he'll be on. We'll ask him if he's been consulted about a Generation O uniform.
He would have been, I don't know if he was the Diamond Plates. I think he might have.
He was not the Diamond Plates.
Yeah, he was before the Diamond Plates.
Yeah.
Correct.
He was when they first went to the kind of the weird different shades of green. And,
correct. And I think he was one of the first to wear the new O rather than the interlinked UO.
Well, I think he's the one that started the hand O thing.
He started the hand signal of it, but whoever designed the actual logo, they made it look like Autzen Stadium on the outside and Hayward Field on the inside. Yeah. That was the goal.
Okay.
So,
Duck fans are also hot and bothered about the fact that EA Sports, you know, the college football video game is back.
Yes.
And they rank the toughest places to play on the game.
I'm just saying this for the record. This is the dumbest thing that I've ever seen a fan base be upset about.
Yeah, they're very butthurt.
Yes.
So this is from a video game, not in real life, just
the video game.
The game.
Because in the game, when you go play on the road, like, and you're the visiting team, it makes it harder for you to play. That it's built into the game.
Yeah, your controller starts rumbling, like a third and seven's harder to pick up, your receivers miss routes, stuff like that.
Stuff like that, yeah. More likely to jump off sides.
Yeah, so the Ducks came in 11th.
I love that everyone, because they like there were a bunch of lists going around about the top 10, and Duck fan was so like, not in the top 10! And then like you look at the bigger list, you're 11th. Like, what? You're the 11th hardest place to play in football. Do you really think you're the hardest place to play? Come on. Like, and it's a video.
Lloyd Carr said it was.
One guy.
That's what every Oregon fan will tell you.
One guy.
Well, who do they think they're? So, let me look at the rankings. They have Texas A&M number one.
Yeah.
And that is.
Do we think that's true? Is Texas A&M the toughest place to play in the country?
Never played at Kyle
Field. I've been there. But it is a very. They are. It's wild. It's a really good scene, and the thing that makes that stadium great is it is right on top of, like, there's just no space between the field and the fans. Like, well,
there's like 120,000 people.
Yes, it's legit. Yeah.
But I'm thinking about, I mean, I guess I immediately jumped to places in the SEC that, like, I mean, LSU at night, like, more raucous than that, maybe, I guess.
Well,
but
I just played golf with a guy who's been to both. We were just talking about this, actually. He had been to Kyle Field and Tiger Stadium and said Kyle Field better for that reason.
Yeah.
That they were just right on top of you. Whereas LSU is massive and it's expansive, but A&M, he said, was a little bit more interesting because it's just, they are all over you.
I do believe Nick Saban said that that was the toughest place to play when they were doing the whole Johnny Football thing. Kyle Fieldhouse. Or not Kyle Field, not Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
Texas A&M. I think Saban was the one that said that A&M was the toughest place
to play.
Well,
they're number one. Alabama 2, Tiger Stadium, LSU 3, Ohio State 4, Samford Stadium, Georgia 5. So Oregon's not better than any of those.
Well, no.
They're all ginormous. All of those are huge.
You're talking about 55,000 to 60,000 people. No offense. You're very loud versus in some of these places, 100,000 plus.
Penn State.
Yeah, the
Beaver Stadium.
Yeah,
they're over 100 there.
They're six. Camp Randall, number seven.
Yeah, very tough.
Probably comparable to Camp Randall, I would think.
I would think.
Ducks.
I think honestly now, the difference between Camp, like all these schools here, they're probably interchangeable.
Oklahoma is next. That's pretty good, man. I mean, that's, I don't know how many they seat, but Florida State and then Florida and then Oregon.
Yeah. Like, again, you're gonna be like, we're tougher than the swamp.
Well, did you see the thing that Oregon fans now have to hang their hat on in relation to the game? Oregon, the second best offense in the country.
Yeah.
That came out today.
On
the game.
I would also like to point out that Colorado's offense and defense are both on there as one of the best.
Colorado's defense, top 20. Same with USC.
What?
Yeah. That's why people shouldn't be reading into this.
Exactly.
Why does it do that?
Talk about,
like, what is it?
Because they want Colorado to be good.
They want them to be popular. They want them to be a popular pick.
Okay. I got you.
I just like to point out that don't take anything seriously when the defensive power rankings have, I'm looking here, I just want to be clear. Colorado, who might have the worst defense I've ever seen in the history of college football, they're 20th. And USC, who has the second worst defense I've ever seen, they're at 16. So Oregon is at 3 on the defensive power rankings and 2 on the offensive rankings. So,
shouldn't it make Oregon fans feel good? They're ahead of Clemson and Tennessee.
Well, there's
and Michigan.
Well, but there's another one. They put Clemson's offense that was absolutely dog ass, and it's 9th or 10th.
They're just ranking brands.
They're just ranking brands.
Well, I'm talking about stadium thing. Yes. I went back to the toughest places.
Toughest places.
Yeah. Oregon is ahead of Clemson, Tennessee, Auburn, Michigan, Texas, Notre Dame. I mean, come on.
You're doing just fine.
Some pretty high praise. Duckies.
It's so funny how angry like fans get over the dumbest things. And also, look, Oregon is a great place to play. It's a great team. You are not the toughest environment to play in college football. I'm sorry. It just, you're not. You have 60,000 people when you shove that thing together. If you asked any coach whether they would want to play in a big game at 100,000 people at Neyland Stadium in Tennessee or Oregon 60, my guess is they'll take Oregon 60.
All right. Well, tomorrow, I think we'll have time to get into some Big Ten lines. Is it too early for that?
No.
Never.
We'll do that tomorrow. And Joey will join us for more hot duck talk. Maybe we'll ask him about uniforms. I wonder what he thinks of, like, back when he played, I wonder what his thoughts were on the uniform thing. Because you're right, that was like right at the beginning of the,
when
they kind of cranked it up.
Yeah. That was when everything, I remember.
And now looking back, those were terrible.
But. Yeah, I couldn't stand them. I remembered when, because I was right when me and Joey were about the same age and getting recruited and all that. And that was when Oregon really made the, we're going to double down on this and form a brand. And I thought for years it was horrific. And then right after the diamond plate stuff, to me it changed, even as an old fuddy-duddy. Oregon made, once they got rid of the diamond plate and they went to kind of more of this version of it, Oregon's got some of the best looks in the country.
Well, it felt like it was attention grabby at first, and then once they had attention, then they tried to make it cool. Yeah. Because it didn't start out cool, it was just loud, different, and now it's pretty cool.
You can't argue, if you don't like the Ducks, but their stuff, when you ask people around the country, you ask especially kids, Oregon's got some of the best branding and some of the cleanest looks and nicest stuff anywhere in college football. And even as an old fuddy-duddy like me, 99% of the time when they put something out, I'm like, ooh, that's slick.
And you know about some of this, but like I guess at like the All-Star games, Senior Bowls, and Shriners games, and stuff like that, the guys from other schools covet Oregon stuff. They all trade stuff. Yeah. They trade stickers and gear and stuff, and that's like the number one stuff that they all want.
That's what matters right there. Yeah. All right, we'll be back to wrap it up right after this. Well, we're not wrapping it up. We're going into the club.
Yes.
It's an open seggy.
Yeah.
Look, let's be honest. We got nothing next.
Love the open
seggy. And we're running late on time. So that's next. It's going to be exciting. 5:54 on the fan. You know, we do have one Ducks follow-up, and it's not even Ducks.
No, there's geese.
It's a geese follow-up.
Controversy.
Yeah, so the new court, we were talking about this the other day, the Ducks revealed the new court at Matthew Knight Arena.
Deep in the woods.
They should have hired a symbologist because they got one of them wrong.
Yeah, it sounds like that we were talking about the flying, the Ducks in the V with the one missing for Matthew Knight.
They have a flying formation of Ducks, or do they?
Yeah, all the experts are looking at the... Looking at the court going, wait a minute, those aren't ducks. Look at the necks. Those are geese. What are they doing?
I love this.
You were talking about how much those guys made to do that?
Yeah.
And they put geese on the floor.
Because
they're not ducks.
This is my favorite thing. If indeed this is true, my favorite part about this whole thing is this dumbass, like, with the architecture firm or whatever that spent so much money kind of redesigning this thing, and they put so much thought and effort into it to the point where they claim that every tree, the outline of every tree, is actually a tree that was used to build the court or Matthew Knight Arena.
Paying homage to the actual trees.
Which is just so stupid, and no one can prove it, but sure, whatever. But if you went to that sort of detail and you actually did that, but you couldn't find a silhouette of a real duck.
Correct animal.
And you used a goose instead. I'm sorry. That's the best thing of all time. Now, I so want this to be true.
I can't say that I would know the difference, but if you look at what what's out there, you know, the geese, they have longer necks and they have wider wingspans.
Yeah.
And that is what... They look, the silhouettes look more like geese than ducks. I don't know if that's right.
It does appear to be a silhouette of a goose.
Yeah. It
and I want it to be.
Yeah.
And look, there may be some prejudice here because again, I think this is hilarious that some pompous firm. The tree thing was just so over the top cheesy that I desperately want the geese thing to be true. So I need confirmation. I need like an actual real expert who's nonpartisan. We need someone from like Purdue to come in and tell us this. Some sort of bird expert. Because you know if this is, there's someone at that firm right now being like, oh my God.
Yeah, someone's getting turfed.
We look like a bunch of ass clowns right now.
Thanks, Isaac and Newt Zook.
All right, the club is next. See what we have here.
I love stuff like this. When you have one job.
Yeah, well, you're so over the top about, all the thought and time we put into this.
The extra effort to add nuance to the things that didn't need nuance, like the trees, and to miss that part.
Come on. Be true.
All right, coming up, we've got violent sneeze news and two bits of...
By the way, violent sneezing is nothing to laugh at.
No, it isn't.
Sammy Sosa on the DL once.
I'm at the age now that every time I sneeze, I feel like I'm this close to blowing out an O-ring.
I thought that violent sneeze by Sammy Sosa, it didn't put him on the DL. It turned him white.
Oh, maybe.
When we went to the Giants game, somehow we ended up, I think we were talking about Barry Bonds, and we were sitting with some people from Bank of America, the people were down there with me and my buddy, and they hadn't seen Sammy Sosa. And so before we knew it, there was a whole, I was just passing my phone around to the entire section. Mm. And there was like 10 people that had not seen Sammy Sosa in probably 15 years. And it was amazing. Mm. We together had a wonderful moment where we realized that Sammy Sosa is now a white cowboy. And it's vampire. And it's amazing. Full on cowboy boy.
All right. We've got violent sneeze news. And have you ever been this mad? Two bits of ever been this mad news. They're piling up. So we'll get to that coming up in our next hour. It's the club on the Fan. You know, we do have one Ducks follow-up, and it's not even Ducks.
No, there's geese.
It's a geese follow-up.
Controversy.
Yeah, so the new court, we were talking about this the other day, the Ducks revealed the new court at Matthew Knight Arena.
Deep in the woods.
They should have hired a symbologist because they got one of them wrong.
Yeah, it sounds like that we were talking about the flying, the Ducks in the V with the one missing for Matthew Knight.
They have a flying formation of Ducks, or do they?
Yeah, all the experts are looking at the... Looking at the court going, wait a minute, those aren't ducks. Look at the necks. Those are geese. What are they doing?
I love this.
You were talking about how much those guys made to do that?
Yeah.
And they put geese on the floor.
Because
they're not ducks.
This is my favorite thing. If indeed this is true, my favorite part about this whole thing is this dumbass, like, with the architecture firm or whatever that spent so much money kind of redesigning this thing, and they put so much thought and effort into it to the point where they claim that every tree, the outline of every tree, is actually a tree that was used to build the court or Matthew Knight Arena.
Paying homage to the actual trees.
Which is just so stupid, and no one can prove it, but sure, whatever. But if you went to that sort of detail and you actually did that, but you couldn't find a silhouette of a real duck.
Of the correct animal.
And you used a goose instead. I'm sorry. That's the best thing of all time. Now, I so want this to be true.
I can't say that I would know the difference, but if you look at what what's out there, you know, the geese, they have longer necks and they have wider wingspans.
Yeah.
And that is what... the silhouettes look more like geese than ducks. I don't know if that's right.
It does appear to be a silhouette of a goose.
Yeah. It
and I want it to be.
Yeah.
And look, there may be some prejudice here because again, I think this is hilarious that some pompous firm, the tree thing was just so over the top cheesy that I desperately want the geese thing to be true. So I need confirmation. I need like an actual real expert who's nonpartisan. We need someone from like Purdue to come in and tell us this. Some sort of bird expert. Because you know if this is, there's someone at that firm right now being like, oh my God.
Yeah. Someone's getting turfed.
We look like a bunch of ass clowns right now.
Thanks, Isaac. And Newt Zook.
All right. The club is next. See what we have here.
I love stuff like this. When you have one job.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you're so over the top about, all the thought and time we put into this.
The extra effort to add nuance to the things that didn't need nuance, like the trees, and to miss that part.
Come on. Be true.
All right, coming up, we've got violent sneeze news and two bits of...
By the way, violent sneezing is nothing to laugh at.
No, it isn't.
I'm Sammy Sosa on the DL once.
I'm at the age now that every time I sneeze, I feel like I'm this close to blowing out an O-ring.
I thought that violent sneeze by Sammy Sosa, it didn't put him on the DL. It turned him white.
Oh, maybe.
When we went to the Giants game, somehow we ended up, I think we were talking about Barry Bonds, and we were sitting with some people from Bank of America, the people were down there with me and my buddy, and they hadn't seen Sammy Sosa. And so before we knew it, there was a whole, I was just passing my phone around to the entire section. Mm. And there was like 10 people that had not seen Sammy Sosa in probably 15 years. And it was amazing. Mm. We together had a wonderful moment where we realized that Sammy Sosa is now a white cowboy. And it's vampire. And it's amazing. Full on cowboy boy.
All right. We've got violent sneeze news. And have you ever been this mad? Two bits of ever been this mad news. They're piling up. So we'll get to that coming up in our next hour. It's The Club on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.